Remember to pick up your Christmas cards. All right, very good. Christmas cards in the last hallway, in the far hallway. If you will, turn to Matthew chapter 10. Matthew chapter 10. Christmas time is an unusual time. Some of us are wearing Christmas clothing, sweaters, ties, faces. Okay. We're trying to say, hey, we're celebrating. But Christmas is a special time, and we'll see that in just a minute. Matthew chapter 10, verse 8, it's the Lord Jesus Christ speaking to all of his disciples. A disciple is a follower, and that makes us disciples also. So Matthew 10:8 says, heal the sick, cleanse the lepers, raise the dead, cast out devils. Now, probably there is nobody here who has done any of those things. But we are told those are things that we are capable of doing. And then he finishes the sentence out, says, freely have ye received, freely give. That brings up a question that I have every year for myself, and a question I'm going to share with you this morning. What will you give Jesus? This is the time of year that we're thinking about giving. This is the time of year we're concerned about, oh, what do I buy Uncle Joe and Cousin Eddie and with his mobile home? And if any of you have ever seen Christmas Vacation, okay. Christmas is a time when a lot of people think of giving. One of the problems that many people have is, what do you give somebody who has everything? Because some of us know people who are that way. Giving for me has always been a problem because I want to give a gift that is not only practical, but is useful. And I want to give a gift to a person that I believe they will use and appreciate. God, you know, has been very generous with all of us. Each one of us, he has cared for, he has provided for, and he has made it possible for us to follow him and to be close to him. He has given each one of us everything we need for life. The fact that we're here this morning means he has provided some way of our getting here. He's not withheld anything that would be useful in accomplishing whatever his purpose is for each one of us. And you each do have a purpose, and it is not the same purpose as anyone else. You have a purpose for you. I know over the course of the year, we generally give more to Jesus than we would give as a gift, Christmas gift, anybody else in the world, I would hope. But let me ask this question. What do you think that Jesus would have you give to him? And you might be thinking, well, I've given him, you know, everything. That's not true. We haven't. There are those who have tried to, but we haven't. We might think we are trying to. I'd like for you to think about what you might give Jesus for next year. I'll qualify that, next year. As I was thinking about what to give Jesus, and ultimately what I'm going to give to God, I wondered what I could give him that he might want. That's the same thing I go through with the individuals. God has spoken through his word. He has spoken many things about giving. We just read a verse about giving, being freely given, giving freely. But I would ask this question: what have you considered about giving him? Luke 6:38 says, "Give, and it shall be given unto you. Good measure, pressed down and shaken together, and running over, shall men give into your bosom. For with the same measure that ye meet withal, it shall be measured to you again." So what might you give Jesus this Christmas? There's a hymn that says, "Take your burdens to the Lord and leave them there." And many times we are used to doing that. We take our burdens to the Lord and we leave them there. And a week later we go right back and take them back again. That's not the kind of giving that I'm talking about. The kind of giving that I had in mind was the kind of giving that would be of benefit to the kingdom. To the kingdom. There is a kingdom, you know. It's not visible right now, but one day it will be. One of the other things that we do is we take the problem to him and then we go back and take it up ourselves, because we sometimes think that we know better than he does how to fix it, and we also think that we can do it in quicker time. We want it right now. We want it fixed right now. Now, there are some things that we're supposed to give Jesus. And in this time of year would be a good time to think about them. The Apostle Paul wrote about the gifts, but he calls it something other than a gift. And I'd like to share what he has written about that in Romans 12:1. When he said, "I beseech thee therefore, brethren." So he's writing to Christians. "I beseech therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God," by the mercies of God, "that ye present yourselves," your bodies, "a living sacrifice, wholly acceptable to God, which is your reasonable service." Now, all of you are probably familiar with that verse. And one of the words in that verse I want to take an exception to. I want to take that little word, holy, H-O-L-Y, and I want to change it. I'm not rewriting scripture. I'm just changing it for illustration purposes. And I want to change it from H-O-L-Y to W-H-O-L-Y. And then I want to put back in the verse and see what that verse says. "I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that ye present your bodies a living sacrifice, wholly acceptable." That means completely acceptable. It's not spiritually set apart, as in H-O-L-Y, but the word holy, W-H-O-L-Y, meaning complete or entirely. And I'd like us all to think about that for a little bit this morning. That we present our bodies to Him this Christmas completely. Meaning that we totally belong to Him because we do. We do. If we are born again, our body belongs to Jesus Christ, not to ourselves. And I'd like to think about what bearing this could have on Christmas. I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, completely acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. Let's paraphrase that verse just a little bit. Paul is saying, I plead with you as a believer, that you yield your physical body as a sacrifice given to God entirely for His service. Wow, that really changes that verse. Now, we've had the privilege of having missionaries stand at this pulpit and share with us the vision they have for some part of the world, some of it remote. You think of Papua New Guinea, that's remote. You don't drive there. You can walk there. But if you're going to go there, you've usually got to go by helicopter. They drop you off and then they leave. And there you are. That's remote. If we were to give our bodies wholly, completely to God, it would change what we are doing. Now, is this what God would want? Suddenly, we would be doing everything for God. We wouldn't be thinking about Uncle John and Cousin Charlie, and we would be thinking about Jesus Christ and what we could do for Him at this time of year. But it wouldn't just end at this time of year. This time of year would not be anything special. This would just be part of the rest of the year. So we're back to that question. What can we give to Jesus? Self would no longer be any concern to us personally. Self would not exist. And the only one that we would be involved with would be God. And I am reading letters weekly right now from some of our missionaries. One in Papua New Guinea. The Dion family. He stood here within a couple of years, maybe 3 years ago, and he shared his ministry. Now he has his wife, his children, living on a mountain in Papua New Guinea. If he wants a loaf of bread, it's a 9-hour trip by helicopter to go get a loaf of bread and come back. Think about it. Not the conveniences that we understand. But you see, that's what they chose to give to Jesus. at some point in their life. And I would like all of us to be thinking about what we, you and me, what we could give to Jesus this year that he could use. A lot of folks give things to him he doesn't want. He doesn't want gossip. He doesn't want backbiting. And I think I need to define gossip. Gossip is talking about anybody when they are not present. That's gossip. To talk about anybody when they are not present. They're unable to defend themselves. And maybe you don't have to say the truth about them. You can say anything you want. They're not there. That's gossip. Gossip is a sin. God considers it a sin. Gossip has destroyed a lot of churches. Gossip has destroyed a lot of people. Ask Mike Flynn. He was accused of things he didn't do. And he didn't know that he was being accused of them to begin with. That's just a national figure. But it's the same thing with each individual. And we need to be sure that we don't try and give God gossip within our church family. If you're a born-again Christian, and anyone's around you starts to gossip about somebody, I would suggest that you not walk, but that you run to someplace else. I had a sister that way about the Bible. If I walked into a room with the Bible in my hand, she ran out of the room. She died without Jesus Christ as her Savior. It's that way with sin. Tim was talking about Satan this morning and the way that he entraps us in things. And a lot of people don't realize that they're gossiping, which is a sin. And if they don't realize it, they don't confess it. They don't repent of it. They don't make it right with God. And it is something, folks, that we need to have right. The Holy Spirit should bring conviction, and if he doesn't, there's a real problem. One of the things about people who gossip, they're usually cowards. Not willing to talk in front of somebody. That would be a good Christmas present not to give Jesus, but to refrain from. The soul already belongs to Jesus. If you know Jesus Christ as your Savior, your soul belongs to him. He bought it. He bought it on the cross with his blood. His resurrection is simply a promise to you that there's going to be a resurrection for you. But his blood bought your soul. So we can't give him our soul for Christmas. He already has it. We need to think about what we could give Jesus in the way of a Christmas gift. If we wanted anything but the gospel, I don't believe you'd be here this morning. I believe you came here into this place, 8310 Dorchester Road, because you wanted to hear God's word. And I will let you know you're hearing it. You heard it in Sunday school. You're hearing it here. And you'll hear it here again tonight. And Lord willing, on Wednesday night. Now, if you didn't come here to hear the gospel, you should have gone to the library. There's a lot of good books there you can read, but there's only one book that is the truth, that is not written by a man. Oh, there was a man who penned the words on a piece of parchment or animal skin or whatever they wrote it on, but that was under the inspiration of God's Holy Spirit. And the words that were written down were absolutely true. I do want us to think about what can we give Jesus. Would you consider giving him yourself completely? None of us have done that because we're still here. But would you think about it? Would you consider giving him all that you are and have? That'd be a pretty good gift. But it would change your life. And that's why we're here this morning, is to change lives, change hearts, change minds. If we think about that word in that verse that we opened with, I beseech you therefore, brethren, and we consider the change of that word holy to holy, completely. Would that change your life? Would that change your purpose? Would that change your philosophy? And you might be sitting there thinking to yourself, well, I'm not in full service to God, and I don't have time for that, and I don't have an education for that. Folks, Jesus gave you an education the moment you were saved. And that education has got a name. And that name is Holy Spirit. He's here. He is knowledge. He is wisdom. If you look in Isaiah 11, you will see he is all kinds of things. You look in Galatians and you see what his fruit is. It's love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, faith. He gives that. He brought it. Would you consider giving yourself, all of you, to Jesus? You say, it's not my job. I'm not in full-time service for the Lord. You're wrong. You are in full-time service for the Lord, whether you know it or not. The moment that you said, Jesus, save me, forgive my sin, come into my heart, you started full-time service for God. You did. Well, what about my family and all my friends and stuff? They come second. Jesus has to come first. And sometimes that is just a gift that we can give to him to put him first. And it's a gift he would accept. We're getting close to our answer right now as to the question for this morning. What will you give Jesus? And I think the answer that we can utilize this morning, the answer we will utilize this morning, the correct answer. Now, there's really no wrong answers, but the correct answer would be, I will give Jesus more of myself. more of myself. I will give Jesus more of me. I think that's the correct answer. You see, relationships change over time. A married couple, when they start out, they think they're in love, and they probably are physically more than any other way. But then as time passes, that physical relationship changes to a spiritual relationship. And those who have been married for any length of time at all know that's not the way they loved their wife then, like they love their wife now. And that spiritual relationship has an even stronger bond because it deals with eternity. Spiritual things are eternal. The Bible tells us that. They are not temporal. They are eternal. They're forever. And that's the kind of relationship that we want to have with Jesus. Oh, we have it. But sometimes we don't realize it. Sometimes we don't recognize it. We don't have it in the forefront of our mind as to what that might actually mean. And I believe that this is a good time of year to consider giving Jesus more of us. You say, well, what more can I give him? You know. I don't have to tell you. That's between you and God. You know what you're hanging on to. Open the hand. Open the hand. Here, Jesus. I've kept this for me, but here, Jesus. This is for you. You deserve it. You've bought it. Things go from physical to spiritual over time. Jesus used the analogy of the marriage as an example of the relationship of him to the church. He did. The same as a marriage. And over the time, our relationship should become more spiritual than it is physical. We need to be making constant adjustments to our relationship with him. I believe that as a church, we need to give more to our Lord. And he doesn't need tangible things. He doesn't. He wants spiritual things. He wants us. He wants all of our lives. He wants our complete life, our whole life, W-H-O-L-E. He needs people devoted to him, willing to do anything that he might lead us to do. And folks, I don't care what age you are, what gender you are, what kind of health you're in, Jesus can use you and he can call you to a particular form of service. And he will, if you will listen. I am sure, as I am standing right here on this rubber mat that you can't see, that Jesus Christ has a purpose for you that you can fulfill if you will respond to the call that he is giving you. He needs people devoted to him. And I believe we've got some people here devoted to him. One of the things that I have seen change over time, because our society has changed, I have seen fewer and fewer people come to know Jesus Christ as Savior. A.B. led a man to the Lord this past week, a man who came up and knocked on his front door. Praise the Lord for that. We need to do more soul winning. We have to do it, folks. People are dying and going to hell because nobody has loved them enough to plead with them as Paul was pleading with us to submit our bodies as a sacrifice, a living sacrifice, not just our bodies, but our soul. We need to concentrate, particularly this time of year, on reaching out to people and sharing the Lord Jesus Christ. Folks, I hope every one of you have got gospel tracts in your pocket or in your purse. And not necessarily just in English. These are in Spanish. And folks, you're going to run into a Spanish person someplace. I have been giving them out. At our apartment complex. Because there's lost people there. Now, I would like to make a suggestion this morning. As we're thinking about what we're going to give Jesus, I would like to make a suggestion that you as an individual, whoever you may be, that you get alone with Jesus. Get alone with Jesus. No radio, no television, not even the telephone. Turn the telephone off, put it in another room. And you go get with Jesus. And you ask him what you could give him. What he wants out of your life. Because not only does he want your soul, he wants your whole life. He wants all of you. That's the only way he can use you. That's the only way he can direct you. If he is in charge of who you are and what you are. You talk to him about the people in your life that don't know him. And I'm sure all of us have got loved ones scattered around this continent or this world. You just talk to him about your relationship with the people who need him. And you talk with him about your personal relationship to him. Folks, that may accomplish a lot. That may change some things. Ask Jesus. Ask him. Jesus, what do you want from me? What do you want from me? And then you sit still and you listen for that still, small voice, because he's not going to holler at you. That still small voice is coming from your soul. And he will tell you. And there's nobody sitting here this morning, myself included. There are none of us sitting here this morning that there isn't something else that he doesn't want. And we have not given it to him. But he wants it. What a great great time of year to reach out to Him and let Him reach down to you and take you to the place He knows you will experience joy, love, peace. It's called His perfect will. As we come to the end of this morning's service, just before the Christmas holiday, I'd like to share the next verse that comes after Romans 12:1. I'd like to read with you Romans 12:2. And it says, remember, Paul's pleading with us as believers. And he says here in verse 2, and be not conformed to this world. Be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that ye may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. Not just permissive will. Because a lot of us are living in permissive will right now. But I would like to have us living in perfect will. And it's not the place we are. This verse would imply that we can be like the world in our living and in our actions, but the verse says that we are not to be the same as the world in any of our normal activities. This verse tells us that the thing that we can give to Jesus is our mind. Our thought life, our mind. I believe that there are some Christians who have never let the Lord renew their mind as this verse talks about, and therefore they have never been transformed to live according to the will of God. They wonder why they have such a struggle with life and doing the things of God, and they wonder why they seem to displease their Heavenly Father so often. But the problem is that they've not given Jesus their mind. Read that verse again. And be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that ye may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. That's a big gift. That's the gift He's looking for. And that's the gift that everyone seated here this morning can give if you're not afraid of what He might do or where He may take you or where He may call you. And that brings up one more question as we come to a close. Does your mind belong to you or does your mind belong to Jesus? And that's very difficult to be truthful to yourself with that question. If you're living like the world lives, and I've seen people who say they're Christians live that way, then there are some things that need to be fixed before it's too late to make any changes. People who have not permitted their mind to be renewed have never been transformed. And that's a very big problem. Would anyone consider giving Jesus all of their life as a gift at this Christmas time? it could change everything. So I want to remind us as I close, remind all of us that for none of us are perfect. Yet, sometimes it seems like some of us are not even working on it. As we think about our Heavenly Father sending His Son to die for each of us, this may be a time, a good time, to spend extra time with our Savior, seeing what we can find in our life to give to Him for this coming year. What will you give Jesus at this Christmas time? Father, tough question. It's a question I'm not sure what the answer is, Father. I know there are things that He wants from me. I know there are things that I need to give Him, I should give Him. Help me to understand those things, Father. May your Holy Spirit point those things out to me, and may He point it out to everyone else here this morning. May we all know what we can give to Jesus. And then, Father, give us the courage to give Him those things. And Father, we will praise You and worship You and serve You because of Him. Thank You, Father, for all You're doing in all of our lives. We thank You in Jesus' name. Amen.